All right, guys, welcome back to Beyond the Barbell. I am Ben Alderman.
I'm Blair Morrison. We're happy to be brought to you guys by Reebok again, the official outfitter of CrossFit and the CrossFit Games. It is officially regional season. We had the online qualifier, you know, about a month ago, and we got to talk a little bit about that. But now that we are just, gosh, less than a week away from our first regional, it's been kind of fun to analyze these workouts, and there's been quite a bit to digest.
I mean, obviously, the first thing that everybody's talking about is the no barbell, right? First thing that jumped out to me, because I love the barbell, you know what I mean? But I think it gives regionals a whole nother dynamic that athletes have to be ready for. So the first thing that surprised everybody is probably the biggest thing.
Yeah, and you know what I love about this is how just freaked out everybody is that there isn't an Olympic weightlifting movement in there, like a traditional Olympic weightlifting movement. When in reality, how small a slice of the fitness pie is Olympic weightlifting?
Oh, it's very small.
It's very small, right?
Yeah.
I mean, not in CrossFit. Traditionally in CrossFit over the last 10 years, it's been a very big slice of the pie. But maybe what Castro is saying is that, hey, man, we were doing that almost by default without even thinking about how much other things we could use. And now we're going to swing back the other way. Strictly because everybody's becoming so dependent on this movement and so expectant for these movements.
Sure. And I think that, too, sometimes you have people who fall into a camp of, and I'll be honest, either a Castro hater or a Castro like follower, right? And I think what Castro did here is he showed that what he's willing to do is not be his own biggest fan, right? And he's willing to step outside the box and go, well, what if we miss the mark in regionals the last few years by adding in a max effort lift or, you know, a heavy barbell movement every single time? And he said, you know what? Let's just go with a dumbbell. And if all of our athletes have to do it, then it's fair.
Right. And it's a great test for the current training methodology, right? Because, I mean, in the beginning, CrossFit was about unknown and unknowable. How good is your training system to prepare you? How good is your training system at preparing you for something that you haven't trained for? Right? Does it apply to unknown tests? And we're going to find that out this year.
Sure.
If you see the same guys going to regionals, or I'm sorry, going to the games, same girls going to the games, it is proof positive that CrossFit in the form that we're running it now works. If you see a whole slew of new people going to the games, then it's proof positive the other way that, hey, the way people are training is not preparing them for anything out there. It's preparing them for the way CrossFit has been done.
Right. And that's where I think that Castro is cool with that. You know what I mean? He doesn't care.
He's willing for the risk, yeah.
Yeah, he's willing to say, hey, you know, we did miss it. And so now we have a heavy dumbbell, and that's the only thing we're going to use to measure strength, so to speak. It's fine. If our biggest names, if our, you know, brightest stars don't make it and we have a whole new group, that's fine. So I don't know. I think it's very, very cool. I've tested the workouts myself, and they are different. They feel different. They are surprisingly difficult for myself. So I'm kind of curious to see where I'm going to land at the end of the day or the end of the weekend at regionals. So
everybody out there is curious to see where you're going to end, Ben.
Yeah, right.
Of the dumbbell movements that they are putting in, I'm going to highlight one in particular that I just love for the individuals. I mean, because the teams don't get to do this movement. It's the overhead lunge, the overhead walking lunge.
Right.
I love it. One arm up, it's fairly heavy weight, but you're traveling with the dumbbell, which I like. You're trying to stabilize one side while the other side, you know, is basically supporting it.
And that movement is actually very difficult. You know, when you have that one arm up, breathing becomes difficult because you feel like you're just pushing up on one side. But really, the opposite side of the trunk is pulling you back the opposite way, right? So you don't fall over.
Right.
And I mean, and then you're stepping through. It's pretty brutal, especially the last 100-foot lunge.
Right. That one, I mean, when you're fresh, probably everybody's strong enough in their upper body just to lock it out and push
yeah.
through. But when you're breathing hard at the end,
yeah.
That's a great workout. That's a great little short chipper, right?
Yeah. After 50 wall balls and after 100 dubs, when you're coming back through, that's a nasty little movement.
Well, let's take a look at the individual events, you know, top to bottom. The first event, they introduced a weight vest for regionals for the first time, right?
Yes.
1,200 meter run on the true form or the new version of the true form.
The air runner, air assault runner, assault runner.
Right.
Something like that.
Basically, Assault came out with a version of the true form, which was devastating to yours truly because I purchased the true form this year in preparation for regionals. Too. So 1,200 meters, then you got 12 rounds of 4 strict handstand push-ups, 8 chest to bar pull-ups, 12 air squats, all wearing a weight vest, 20 pound, 14 pounds, and you got 25 minutes. So when I saw that workout, obviously the vest jumped off the page, but what I saw was what I thought to be something very similar to last year's strict muscle-up workout, right? Very long, very boring to watch. Looks a little bit like Murph without a run at the end. Ben, what did you see?
I saw the total volume, right? So when you look at it at first, you don't see very much. You see 4 strict handstand push-ups. You go, oh, that's not very many. But when you multiply that by 12 rounds, right? That's 50, essentially. It's 48. I know my math, right?
Almost 50.
Yeah. So you're looking at like a 50, 100, 150 workout on these movements, right, with a 20-pound vest. These are rep ranges that we don't always approach in training. So you have the potential of being either very sore and having this workout like really affect you later on the weekend.
Yeah. Of those movements, the strict handstand push-up, chest bar pull-up, 12 air squat, I think it's easy to fall into the trap of thinking the strict handstand push-up is going to be the limiter. And I think it probably will be for a lot of the females.
Yeah. That's why I think that 25-minute cap is there. I'm not sure there's many guys who are going to run into that 25-minute cap.
Right. Well, I mean, it's a function of body weight, right? So if you weigh 120 pounds, 14 pounds is more than 10% of your body weight that you're adding to a strict movement. Like, you don't get any momentum to help you with that.
None.
If you're a 200-pound guy, now your 20-pound vest is 10%. The bigger you are, actually, the less
it affects you,
the less it may affect you. Yeah. Right.
It's kind of like a sled push workout or something like that, you know, where you're pushing against an object and the closer that object is to your body weight or the further above it is, I guess I should say, the more difficult it becomes, especially as the workout gets longer.
It's interesting because you normally would think, oh, the shorter athletes are going to dominate this because of their range of motion and they still may.
Yeah.
But if they're too light,
sure,
the vest will probably creep into have more of an effect late in the workout.
Like typically a shorter athlete, we do think of like a Josh Bridges, right? But he's not a small athlete, right? So he won't struggle with this, so to speak, where somebody who's smaller, literally, you know, you're looking at a 170-pound athlete who managed to sneak his way through into regionals. Maybe not sneak, but, you know, he's going to have a little
bit. So biased against small guys.
It's going to be a little bit more of a challenge.
Ben, such a small guy hater.
Yeah, right. Now I wish I was a small guy, I tell you that much.
Yeah, well, think about the run, too. I mean, that's a lot of extra weight to be carrying on the run. I mean, everybody who's done Murph with a vest knows that you're not feeling super fresh coming in off that. Now imagine that on a true form. It just takes a lot more out of your legs. I think the squats are just going to crush people, and you're going to see if pace slows down on the squats, that's your indicator of someone's fatigue, and you're going to see them start to trail off throughout the rest of the workout.
Yep, and that's true. You know, I ran that workout a couple times already, and I think that it's one time when I ran it, squats felt good. My time was great. Second time I ran it, squats didn't feel so good. Didn't go so well.
Right. You just stretched out.
Stretched out. Yeah, your transitions take longer, 1 or 2 seconds at the top of a squat, taking a breath.
Do they allow you to do your squats next to the pull-up bar, or do you have to go to a different area?
No, you go to a different area. So you do your 4 handstand push-ups, and you turn. And actually, the way the rig is set up this year, there's a gap. So your handstand push-ups happen, and then you have to move about 10 feet, it looks like, to do your chest bar pull-ups. And then you start advancing on your 12 squats for 12 rounds, kind of like you did last year on regionals night where you moved the kettlebell. You'll be moving some sort of marker on this one, increasing your distance away from the rig as you go.
Right. So there's some built-in rest there. Moving on to event two, we got 21:15:9. Dumbbell snatches and ring dips. The dumbbell shows back up here on day one. 80 pounds for the men, 55 for the women. So it's about twice as heavy as it was in the open. And we're going to see that throughout the weekend for regionals. This is just an all-out sprint, right?
Yeah, this is the sprint. So I think that what's kind of crazy is when you looked at events one and two, because that's how they were released, right? We didn't get to see the whole weekend. You looked at this workout and go, ooh, I love it, right? Dumbbell snatches, ring dips, fast. Hard-hitting 21:15:9, kind of a classic CrossFit workout with an unconventional movement, you know. But this is an unbroken movement. Unbroken for sure in the dumbbell snatches, maybe Unbroken for sure in the ring dips as well. But those are your best guys who can go unbroken, who can advance the dumbbell, run back to their rings. It's time to have 6 minutes. Again, it's very long. If you're sprinting this thing, you're looking around 3 minutes.
Right. This is like a Fran time.
Fran time for sure.
So that day one, it is all about gymnastics, right? You got your strict handstand pushups with a vest. You got your ring dips, which is it's a difficult movement, especially for the female athletes traditionally. So we're going to see how many girls are really been working the lockout, not just doing muscle ups, ring dip, but actually doing dips proper. I think it's going to be interesting to see how the dumbbell affects people's cardio, because it is a different stimulus, like you were saying before.
Absolutely. I think that what's funny on the ring dips, you were mentioning about the ladies, and this happens with guys as well. We can do big sets of muscle ups when we're fresh, but as soon as they go away, that lockout becomes really troubling. And with that strap as a standard across the top of the shoulder, you're going to have athletes who think they're at lockout. They're going to swear their strap has been moved up. But the reality is, they're not locking out. No matter how much they think it, that's as far as their arm goes, is because they're not practicing that good lockout all the time, all year long.
Right. And we haven't seen the ring dip in regional since 2014. I remember that back in San Jose. Remember that?
That was my favorite workout.
50s?
The 50s.
Yeah.
Did amazing.
Started the old, God, man, that was your weekend, bro.
That was my weekend.
Damn it. That stupid workout.
Yep.
All right. So you can exercise some demons there. Saturday, event three, that's where we get to the dumbbell overhead walking lunge, 100 feet on either. I think it's on either hand, right? Or do you have to switch every?
No, you don't have to switch. I didn't see any requirement of switching.
Then 100 double unders, 50 wall ball shots, 10 rope climbs with the kind of bare midriff rope. Right?
It looks like it cuts off about 5 foot. So I saw Katie Hogan demonstrating this workout.
It's going to be a lot of legless climbs on this.
Yeah, and she hit cut off right about her shoulder. Yeah. So
you might see people put their feet on the rope just to tap the top, but for the most part, they're going to be climbing up legless. Then back down the line, 50 wall ball shots again with the heavy wall ball, 100 double unders, 100-foot dumbbell overhead walking lunge. This is kind of an interesting chipper because they're sneaking the strength in without a bar. Like the heavy wall ball shots, that's 100 at 30 pounds. That's strength.
Absolutely.
Like, that's big-time strength. The overhead walking lunge, that's going to be, that's like we talked about, it's lockout strength and core stability, you know, and then you have your pretty much legless rope climbs. So even though this is a non-barbell chipper cardio kind of event, there's some like sneaky stuff in there.
Yeah. You know, I ran this workout and I got right around 15 minutes. I mean, the time cap 16. Typically I time cap chippers like this. So
positive.
It's a positive. Yeah. So if I finish everything under the time cap this year, I'll be really happy.
Out of curiosity, how big a chunk of time did the wall balls take you and the rope climbs take you?
I should have spent a little more time watching this and being a little bit more mindful of it. My goal is to kind of go through without any kind of real pressure on myself and just kind of move through.
See what it feels like.
See what it feels like. Because that's probably the way I should do chippers all the time. What happened was my cardio kind of snuck up on me and it got pretty difficult. So the 100-foot dumbbell overhead walking lunge was essentially done unbroken, maybe a small stop and switch of the arm. I cannot remember exactly what I did, maybe once. The double unders, I think I hit my foot once, reset, and just kept going. And then the 50 wall ball shots, my idea was to go 20-15-15. That did not happen.
It's 5-10s.
It was tens.
Yeah. That's where the workout starts, I think.
Yeah, it was tens. And then the rope climbs didn't feel as bad as I thought. I think one thing that athletes are going to have to remember, and I'm giving away a little bit of strategy here, is that you're tired from something else, right? Your shoulders are tired, your pressers, your pushers are tired, but your pullers aren't so much tired, you know, and you have to really be able to distinguish that as you go through this workout and use the rope climb as a, I don't know, someplace where you can kind of make up a little time.
All right, moving on to event four. You got your 60-foot handstand walk, 10 toes to bar, 10 double kettlebell deadlifts, and then 60-foot handstand walk, 12 and 12, handstand walk, 14, 14, handstand walk, 16, 16. And here we go again, 11-minute time cap, but this is in that chipper vein, right? This is a lot of heavy breathing, no resting. People are going to try to do all this stuff unbroken. And those deadlifts, I mean, who knows? Who's got 150 pound kettlebells to practice with.
Yeah, I mean, and you've already
seen 106 pounds for the girls.
Yeah, you've already seen on social media some of the contraptions people are coming up with. People strapping plates to their kettlebells or putting four or five kettlebells together. You know, it's a very, very interesting workout. My wife is funny because she always says everybody's like concerned about what's coming out in the workout because they need to know what they've practiced for. She's always kind of curious of what's going to come up in the workout because she wants to know what we have to buy.
Right.
How much money we have to spend. So
I called around. They don't have any of those anywhere.
No, nowhere.
Yeah.
You were going to get some to check out?
You can get the 106-pound ones places, but the 150s, I mean, I remember looking at – remember how heavy were they at the games a couple years ago?
200.
Yeah. I mean, those were just so
203, I think.
So ridiculous.
Yeah.
But – this one's going to hurt a lot. And for you personally, man, this second day is everything for you. Yep. I think you'll survive day one. I think you'll be in good position right where you want to be. And this is going to be your test, man.
Yep.
This is going to be your test. Can you walk up and hit those deadlifts and not wait for it?
Right.
You know?
And that's a tough part. I think that some people will struggle on the handstand walk, but your best athletes, it's just going to come down to, can you keep moving?
Right. Yep. It's going to be conditioning.
It's conditioning.
Getting upside down and walking after you're doing these toes to bar, kettlebell, those are fast movements.
Sure.
Right? And then can you get back upside down and walk right away? All right, moving on to Sunday, right? I love this workout for you. 21:15:9 muscle ups, single arm overhead squats without the need to switch. You can do it on either arm, all the reps, half of them, whatever. 80-pound dumbbell there again. So that's the third day in a row you're going to have a heavy dumbbell. Should be pretty used to it by then. But 21:15:9, that's 45 muscle ups, Ben.
Yeah, I've been doing 50 muscle ups on a regular basis, like in workouts and whatnot. So I feel like this workout is a good one for me.
Yeah, and this one is not about cardio. This is about managing muscle fatigue. I mean, you're going to be out of breath, of course, because it's in that sprint vein, but not really.
No.
You're going to be breaking these up from the beginning, maybe trying to go unbroken on the overhead squats, but...
Yeah.
Muscle ups, you're going to be trying to stay smart, right?
Stay smart. Stay smart in the muscle up. You know, but there are the best guys, the guys who are smaller and lighter, who've got that just freaky gymnastics background. I think you're going to see guys go 21 and broken on this.
I think out of the gate on that first set, for sure, I think it'll be fun to watch somebody try to do 15 on the second set.
Yeah. It won't happen. It won't happen. Unless they took a ridiculous amount of breaking on the, but I don't know anybody who can do 21 and 15.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Especially if you went unbroken. Like that's what's 21 overhead squats take, even with a run back and forth, a minute.
Yeah.
So you go 21 and then you rest a minute and then you do 15. That would be hard. But you're talking about doing work in between.
Yeah. I think that would be fun to see someone try. I mean, Cody Anderson, he loves to do big sets, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or Noah Olson loves to do big sets. This is another tough one for the ladies, man. 45 muscle ups in a workout at regionals. 45 muscle ups.
Yeah.
It's crazy. All right. And to finish off the weekend, you have a classic regional sprint, another 6-minute time cap with the bike. Oh my God, this is going to hurt so bad. 30 calories on the bike, 25 for the women, 20 burpee box jump overs. Ouch. 30-inch box. And then 10 sandbag cleans with 150 or the 100-pound bag. This is going to be total just booty lock, leg tap out.
Yep. That's exactly what it's going to be.
Oh, my God. This is going to be so fun to watch and so bad to do.
Yeah. I don't even know any words. I mean, I think people can pretty much look at that and go, the assault bike, oh, man, 30 calories, 25 calories. If you're not off in under a minute, you're screwed.
Right. It's over.
It's over. It's over. It really is. You got to be, I'm thinking 45 seconds or so on that 30 calories.
Right, 'cause you don't want to be maxed out so you can't move at all.
Right.
That's a tricky little workout. I look at that number, 20 burpee box jump overs. Like I'd say if you're within 20 seconds on the assault bike, you can make that up on the burpees.
Sure.
If somebody goes too hard on the bike.
And there's me guys who don't really have a choice, right? And they're just not as heavy. They're not as big.
Right.
You know, and they do go a minute and then they're able to catch up on those burpee box jump overs. It really is going to come down to those sandbag cleans.
This is a tall guy workout, man.
Oh, yeah. I look at Garrett Fisher.
Oh, he's going to smash this.
Sick, broken, tired, sore, and beat up. And he could probably win this workout if he really, really wanted it any day of the week.
This is a big guy workout. You can push hard on the bike without expending as much effort. you're the 30 inches isn't as big a deal for you.
Yeah, it's below your waist.
Dude, this is gonna be tough. Yeah. That's gonna be a great one to finish on. I love it.
Yeah.
And the sandbag cleans. 150-pound sandbag. We have a couple of those at our gym. They are hard to maneuver, man.
Right. Have you seen the one that we have to use for that? Did you see the picture? It essentially looks like a D-ball.
Right. Which makes it another big guy, long arms. That's what you need.
Reach down, just grab it.
Is it the standard that you have to get it over your shoulder?
Yep, it's got to go over the top.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. Okay, so that's the individual events, man. My impressions are that it is gymnastics heavy, right? You got those 45 muscle-ups on day three. You've got the handstand walking and the rope climbs day two, I really think day two is more of an engine day, to be honest. The gymnastics are in there, but they're not the critical components. Day one, it's for sure a critical component, gymnastics. Right. Strict handstand push-ups, chest bar pulse with a vest, and ring dips. So,
you know, you look here at these movements, and you see there's nothing that somebody can't do. Where last year at regionals, you had the 405-pound deadlift, and there were guys who were worried that they could not do it once. In fact, I think you saw guys who could not do it once.
Yeah.
Then you had a strength ladder where there are movements.
265-pound snatch, right?
Even the 245 for some guys, right? They couldn't move the bar. So this year, there is nothing that you can't move. So it's really going to come down to conditioning. And that's how it is with anything. As you and I get stronger, you know, we can do movements that maybe they fit us better. But still, it comes down to engine work once we can both move the load, right? And once we can move it adequately. So
I bet you see some people get pinned on those heavy sandbags at the end.
Oh, that's going to happen for sure. It's going to happen for sure.
They're going to just try to get it up, not be able to get the grip right because their ass is so gone.
Yeah.
Time cap.
See and I think there's going to be people who fail on the dumbbell overhead squat for the simple reason that positioning is a problem, you know?
And they're pumped out.
They're pumped out. There's positioning issues with the muscle up. The overhead walking lunge, you know, on the second time through is going to cause issues just because people literally are struggling with that position, not because of the weight, so to speak.
All right, so let's shift gears a little bit. We're going to look at the team workouts.
Ooh, yeah.
I know you're excited to hear about these. It's the first time you've even looked at them, huh?
Yep.
Yeah. I have gone through them a couple times already. So event one, day one, you have the treadmill to start off. You have pairs of male and female. First pair does 500-meter run each, 24 strict handstand push-ups each, 24 alternating dumbbell snatches each. Same weight on the dumbbells. The second pair, same 500-meter run, but this time they got to do 28 strict handstand push-ups each and 28 dumbbell snatches each. Third pair, same 500-meter run, 32 handstand push-ups, 32 alternating dumbbell snatches. So
is it each partner does 500 meters on the runner?
Correct.
Okay, so you waterfall entry on that?
No, I'm sorry. You're each doing it simultaneously. There's two treadmills per team.
There's two treadmills.
Yeah.
And then you're both doing 24 strict handstand push-ups?
Correct. So this workout, the way it plays out, it's six individual workouts.
Right.
Right? Now, the second pair can't finish or can't start until the first pair finishes. So whoever the weaker link is in each pair is the limiter.
Sure.
So it's male-female. You got to think most of the guys are going to be better at strict handstand push-ups than the girls. So what does this workout come down to?
Gymnastics.
Who's got the best girl gymnastics?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it comes down to.
Fair enough.
Which strategically makes it a little bit easier to manage because, you know, all right, well, who's our best girl at strict handstand push-ups? Let's put her the 32s. The only reason you wouldn't do that is if you thought you're going to get time capped. You're like, well, if we got a girl that really struggles, let's put her last because at least we get, you know, credit for what we can do.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've gone through this. It's a sprint. If you want to push it hard, you can. I did the 500-meter run, the 24, and it took me like 4.5 minutes. I think in order to finish this workout, you need to be finishing both pairs got to be done in 8 minutes or less. So I think it's very doable to finish, and you're going to have the top teams having no problem probably finishing around 21-ish time. But if you have someone who gets stuck on the wall, you know, then the whole workout grinds to a halt because the next pair can't get on the true form until everybody's done with their
Your people
snatches.
Have to stay smart, right? Nobody can go out there and do more than they had practiced doing.
Right.
You know, you get out there and you get caught up in competition. All of a sudden, like, oh, I'm going to do 17. Like, in practice, you did 10.
Right.
You know, don't try to be a hero right now.
Yeah. So I think that workout for our team is going to be potentially dangerous. You know, we're better at handstand pushups than we've been in the past. And we have some people that can do, you know, 25 in a row. But we'll just see. You know, game day, it's the first one out of the gate. Hopefully people are, you know, under control, because it is, you know, a dangerous one.
Absolutely. Nervous energy, man, is going to get to you.
Event two, you're going to see the biggest thing that everybody's been talking about with the team events this year is the worm. The worm is there every day. Three events out of six are worm events. The first one is 40 worm thrusters, 40 worm burpees. Those are synchronized. Obviously, everything with the worm is synchronized. Then 30 worm thrusters, 30 worm burpees. You have a 15-minute time cap. This workout sucks. This is really hard.
I could imagine. And if you have a lot of teams, I mean, you're practicing it, right? And you, so you have an advantage. But teams who don't have a worm?
I don't know how teams that don't have a worm are. I mean, it's just so unfair because you can't simulate it.
Right.
You can't. You can string sandbags together, I guess, with some carabiners and stuff. But like, it's not. It's very difficult to simulate this. So we're struggling to get better, and we are getting better at it. But it takes time. It takes a lot of practice, and it takes a lot of conditioning. What throws people off on the worm isn't necessarily being in sync. It's being in sync when you're tired, because it just takes like a half a beat off someone who squats a half second late or a half second early because they're, you know, dazed. And this is a daze you kind of workout. 40 thrusters with that thing is a lot. And the burpees add up, man. If you're not in shape, the burpees add up.
I look at that workout and then I think about the team workouts that we saw like in 2013. I think that was the year you went team, right? Did you go team in 2013?
Yeah, at regionals.
Yeah, at regionals. You know, the team workouts are wildly different than they are now.
Yeah, way different. All right, event three for the teams. Now you have pairs again. So we saw pairs on the first day plus all six on the worm. Now we got pairs on the second day. This time you got a male-male pair, a female-female pair, and then a male-female mixed pair. Assault bike each. That's relay style on one bike. Then you got to go to the wall for 50 synchronized wall balls, right? Which is there, and they're heavy, just like the individuals. 20 synchronized bar muscle-ups, and then a 20-calorie row relay.
So on the synchro wall ball shots, are the guys throwing to a 10 and the girls throwing to a 9?
Correct. That's how it is for the individuals too, right?
Yeah,
it
makes synchro a little more challenging.
It is a little more challenging because you have, obviously, the time in the air of the ball is different. So,
and then your girls are usually shorter,
right,
than the guys.
So that's what you would want. You would want a taller guy with a shorter girl.
Right.
Synchronization would work better.
Right.
But to be honest, man, this workout is not about that.
It's wall be balls about those are bar muscle ups again. The limiter on this one's going to be the gymnastics.
It is for sure. The wall balls are easy to synchronize. A lot easier to synchronize than some other elements. But it's the weight of the wall ball that might catch up to some people. It's going to slow you down.
Yeah.
And it is. You're right. It's about the bar muscle ups. This is another workout stopper where you have one pair going through. The next pair can't get on the floor until that first pair is done. So if you have someone in your team that can't do 20 bar muscle ups,
you're done.
You're done.
You can't move forward, right? So that person needs to go at the end, right?
Right.
And if you have somebody who just stops like that, that's unfortunate. But they're really making sure that you have three solid girls.
It is.
You know?
It is.
They're finding the fittest teams.
They are. And they're finding teams that don't have any holes.
Especially in gymnastics.
In
this
gymnastics,
year.
Yeah.
And worms. If you have worms and gymnastics, you're good to go to the games.
Right. So speaking of worm, the event four, second round, second day, 30 worm push presses, one rope climb each person on those high ropes, six rounds. This is a 15-minute cap. We did this workout for the first time the other day, finished just under the cap. It's pretty much a legless rope climb, kind of like how we expect it to be for the individuals. But the worm push presses are shorter movement, right? No squat. You just got to get it, lock out your knees and hips as you pass over the top, be in sync, which is hard to do. And 30 is a number that most teams aren't going to drop that. Maybe they'll break it up after 5 or 10 or 15 or something like that, but they're going to be holding it onto it. So all this start, stop, restart, you could see some waving. And I think with all the worm events, that's what's really going to be the undoing, is not who can do it without no reps, but who can rebound from no reps.
Right.
You know?
It's kind of cool that with the team stuff, it's not so much fitness you need to build, but you need to just build some practice. Absolutely. You know, you literally need to practice playing.
Yeah. You have a base of fitness that allows you to have to be under strain for a long time. Because that's what the worm is. It's constant strain.
Yep. Time right? under tension.
Time under tension. But yeah, you're right. You have to practice as a unit.
That's cool. Very cool. Makes it more like a, I don't want to say a real sport, but like a traditional sport.
Absolutely. All right. Final day, event 5. Now it's the guys together, all 3 guys, and the girls together in trios. Each trio has to do 125 chest to bar pull-ups. One teammate is in a hanging position and the other teammate is resting. Then 100 toes to bar, same situation. One teammate hanging, one teammate resting. And then 100 dumbbell overhead squats on either arm, and the dumbbell cannot touch the ground. If it touches the ground, there's a penalty. I can't remember what the penalty is, but
probably some sort of gymnastics movement.
No, I think it was, I forget. It's something like some sort of like run down and back, or it's like a,
oh yeah. You know, I think
like
I saw
a lap
that.
Around, I think.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean,
gymnastics. Wow.
Right. So you got to get through 125 chest bars. You got to think the best teams are going to try to get through that one set each. That's
sure.
41 reps. So you got to have teams that have 3 guys that can do that.
It's going to be tough, though, for a guy who's in a hang to come out and do 41 chest bar pull-ups after that.
Right.
On day
so
3.
You're expecting maybe the best teams have guys that can do that, but really you're looking at 4 rotations, maybe a 5th. And if you take longer than that, you're going to be behind.
Yep.
Right?
And then you're trying to play catch-up on toes to bar, right?
And you're still hanging. Toes to bar gets your grip more than chest to bar does.
Absolutely.
So
you don't get that weightless moment that you get when you're at the top of a chest to bar.
Right.
You know, for everybody out there that doesn't understand what we're talking about, that actually is true. You get more of a weightless time period when you're in the cycle of a butterfly chest to bar pull-up than you do when you're in a kipping toes to bar. You know, you're constantly under tension just at the front and back of the pendulum when you're in toe to bar.
Yeah, and we ran through this the other day, and that's exactly what it felt like. The toes to bar were harder. So I think strategy-wise, you're going to see teams going big sets on chest to bar, small sets on toes to bar.
Yep.
And then the overhead squats, you have to move every 10 reps, which is interesting. So if you have someone who's very good and comfortable, they can do 10, walk forward, do 10, walk forward. And I think that's going to be to a lot of teams' benefit because there is no minimum work requirement there. So you can have someone who's good at it really take the reins on that.
Out of the 6 athletes on your team, did you have anybody struggling with the positioning on the overhead squat, or was that a non-factor? Excuse me.
I mean, I think for guys like me who have tighter ankles, it takes me a little longer to warm up. My first 10 were much more difficult than my last 10 that I did. Like by the end, I was feeling like I could do 20 in a row. Oh, so it just took a little while to figure out where to put it. And also like, normally when I do a dumbbell snatch, I kind of have more of a hammer grip. But when I was overhead squatting, it felt better to have like a traditional bar grip. Okay. So just figuring that stuff out. But we didn't have anybody that really struggled with that. We had a couple people that were really, really good at it, which is nice.
That's cool. That's very cool.
And then to bring it home, it's 50 worm clean and jerks. So that's like the most traditional warm event that you see at the CrossFit Games. It starts on one side. You get it up to your shoulder, press it over the top to the other shoulder, down to the ground on the other side. 50 is a lot for those. And this becomes a big opportunity for arguing and talking because you're going to hear teams calling out cadences a lot.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
Getting no repped and having to figure out what side to get back on. If you get over the top after a no rep, you got to bring it back over. You know, and you got to stay within your lane. So if you start dropping it too wide, I mean, this could get really messy. And this is not the most fun thing to watch. I will say that about the worm. They're not that fun to watch because it's very repetitive.
Sure.
The rope climb event will be fun to watch, but not this one.
Yeah, I agree. But you know what? It looks like zero thinking, but there's actually a lot of thinking there.
On the worm?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of keeping your head, let's say, mm-hmm. and like, you know, rebounding quickly and trying to obviously just fall back on your practice, fall back on your plan. You know, heat of the moment there, that can really unravel. But
and that's the problem, right? Because people don't have a worm. They don't have anything to fall back on.
Oh, no.
And they're just gambling that everything's going to go right. And we know with 50 reps, not everything's going
to
go right.
And even just knowing where to position people, because the worm is different weights, and they posted what the weights are. You know, it goes like, I think like 80 to 65 to 75 to 60 to, you know, it bounces around.
Right.
But just because you don't put your weakest person necessarily on the lightest bag, you want to position them between a couple of stronger people maybe. And being on the end of the worm feels a lot different than being in the middle, right? Because you have now one side that's going to be floppy and dangling without any sort of support.
Right.
You have to account for that. So your end people need to be practiced.
Is there any requirement about who has to, like, guy, girl, or anything like that? Or is it just whatever you guys want to do?
I think most teams go guy, girl. But I didn't see a requirement there.
I've never messed with it, and I've watched a handful of worm events, but I'm just kind of curious.
Yeah, I mean, definitely a gymnastics slanted team competition with teamwork for the worm. The worm, I think, they're thinking is going to be that's your heavy, and the dumbbells are your heavy, but not like in years past where you have to have a team that can total 1,000 pounds on a snatch ladder.
Gosh,
so
yeah.
Totally different. Totally. I think more so than the individuals, you could see a complete shakeup on teams, at least on how they're formed. Because like we said, I mean, most of these great teams probably have worms, and so they're practicing, and athletes are adaptable. I don't think there's athletes out there that can't learn how to work together.
Right.
It's just time. But because there's not a heavy barbell, you're opening the door for a different type of team to come in there. And if they have a worm and they can get that part down, they got a great shot.
Sure. Yeah. Agreed. I think that makes the games even more interesting just because of the fact that we've had this kind of dumbbell / gymnastics slant kind of just be forced upon us from the open till regionals. And then at the games, what are we going to see? What type of athletes, what kind of tests, what kind of weekend are we really going to see? And I'm curious. I'm genuinely curious.
Right. Are they going to bring barbells back? You think they have to, right?
You'd think they have to. And what it really does is it, I don't want to say it creates a bias, because it's not a bias, so to speak. Maybe it is a bias, but the athletes who have been able to sneak through those tests of the dumbbells and the gymnastics, but then who are also strong, are going to really be able to capitalize at the games if the barbell is back, right?
Absolutely. You're because saying if the dumbbell weeds out some people that are great barbell lifters because they're just not well-rounded enough,
right,
they don't get to be there to make a dent at the games.
Exactly.
Right.
And that's kind of what I think might happen. I don't really know, but we'll see.
Yeah, I think it's very entertaining at the least. Mm-hmm. I love that people are so up in arms about it. Like, oh, I practiced all year on this stuff and now I'm not even going to need it. Well, we'll see if it translates. Yeah. Just because it's not there doesn't mean it didn't make you better.
Yeah.
Right? Let's see if you can adapt to this new apparatus in a couple weeks.
And people forget, sometimes the biggest adaptation is not physical, it's neurological, right? Like, if you can adapt to it neurologically between the ears, that's how you're going to get better at something like a dumbbell. It's not like you don't have the strength to lift an 80-pound dumbbell. If you can snatch 300 pounds, stop crying about an 80-pound dumbbell. Just get in there and try to figure out how you can move it better, how you can make it apply. And that's the same challenge that I as an individual have, that somebody else that's been to the games, they have the same thing. And can you imagine how pissed they are? They put in 6 hours a day training, and now they don't have maybe shoulder mobility, you know, like somebody else has. And all of a sudden, some young guy from out of the weeds is going to come up and just rip that game spot from him, you know? It's just
Some new Ben Smith.
Yeah.
You're so right about that, man. Everybody is strong enough to move these weights. You have the tools, right? It's just, can you reorganize them so that you handle a different object? That's all it is.
Yep.
And if you can't, you're not good enough, man. Right. Like, this should not be what's keeping you from going to the games.
And you got to be okay with that. If you're not good enough to reorganize those tools and reorganize your body in order to be able to do that, then that's okay. Like, you're not fit enough this year, not for this test, you know?
You know what I like about it? It just tests adaptability more than usual. Mm-hmm. And that's a complaint that some old heads have had about, you know, the way regionals have gone, the way the open has gone, is it's very predictable. People don't really have to adapt. I mean, the open you never did, because you got you know, 4 days to do it. You only got to do one workout a week. But
sure.
At regionals, it's like, until this year, man, you knew what was going to be at regionals. Yeah. Like, you really, there was maybe one new thing, but you knew what you had to get ready for. And so you could just be a practiced athlete do the workouts five times going in. And it wasn't really like the games where you just show up and like, all right, test me.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't really like that. And this, even though it's still not perfect, like it's not all being done on the same day, so you can really surprise people.
Yeah.
People are they're going out buying dumbbells. They're figuring it out. It's more like that.
Absolutely is. It's very cool. It's very cool to see. I think that griping about it is not going to do any good. So let's just go hard and see what happens.
I love it. All right, guys. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at BTB Podcast, at Iron Mile Ben, at Morrison _ Blair. We're going to be at regionals, California regional, not this weekend, but next. We'll be trying to get you guys some behind the scenes stuff for us, Team Tie Dye Nation, behind the scenes of the team event. Ben will be there as an individual, rapping with all the upper level dudes and girls. And maybe we'll even get an interview or two, hopefully. But yeah, check us out. Make sure you guys download and subscribe to the podcast. We're going to do some special stuff with FitAid, our other major sponsor, who is a lead sponsor of the CrossFit Games this year. Doing some great stuff. Have you got that FitAid RX yet?
Oh, yeah.
Every day. Sweet cherry. Love it. Anyway, thanks again for listening, and we'll see you guys again soon.